The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while later, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What does this mean that he is saying to us, 'A little while, and you will not see me,' and again, 'A little while, and you will see me,' and 'because I am going to the Father'?" So they said, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he means." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing with one another what I said, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me'? Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy." The Gospel of the Lord. It's really difficult to get in mind what the composers of the lectionary had in mind by chopping up the farewell discourse in such manner as to render it virtually indecipherable. But maybe the point is to for us to have the same reaction as the disciples, and they're just kicking around, "A little while, and no longer a little while. What is this little while? What is..." Okay, that's the entire passage. Okay, just in case you didn't notice. All right, there's a lot going on at this part of the farewell discourse, and the next couple of lines are significant. Of course, what we had yesterday was significant. What's happening to give it context is to say that the birth of a new world is coming about. Really, the birth of the new world is coming about. So that final state of affairs that is, say, the kingdom of God, that final state of affairs that is, the world renewed, that is happening. That is going to be happening. And of course, the way that this happens, the way that the new world is brought forth is by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So this is just, say, simply... simply Jesus relating the fact of his death and resurrection here, and they don't understand. Okay, so, and we see that in every gospel, whenever he's talking about his death and his resurrection, they don't understand. And here it doesn't surprise us that when he's talking about it in a yet more cryptic way, that they don't understand him there either. Okay, so this is what's happening. Okay, he's "A little while, and you will not see me." He's going to die. I'm going to decipher it for you, okay? He's going to die. He will be dead and buried. And then, a little while, and you will see me. Okay, that's his resurrection. And that's what happened. Okay, and then, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." And as we know, in this part of the dialogue, the world is the world that is, say, bent on its own way rather than God and his way. So the rejoicing that the world has is in the death of the just one, right? The truly just one, the one who, as we heard yesterday, that is going to send the Spirit of Truth and the rest. It is his own Spirit. So the world rejoices there in its own injustice, rejoices in its own schemes and plans and agendas and the rest that run contrary to the plans and agenda of God, to see his world, say, liberated, right? To see people come to full flourishing, and so to see every corner of creation restored. "You will grieve, but your grief will become joy." Yeah, okay, so start again. Start again, okay? I know, we don't get those minutes back. This is, I think, where it lands for us in terms of application, right? Is to say that, the disciples... they have faith in Jesus. They're holding on to him. They're willing to follow where he's leading. And yet there's a point where, I don't know, they say they let go, right? We can say that. There's a more than that. There's a point where serious pressure comes from the outside, and it has them, say, lose, fall back, however you want to say it, right? They desert Jesus, that's what I want to say. And then I want to say they also have their own grief. And Jesus allows them to encounter it, even as he says to them, it's going to happen. So there's some manner of preparation for it, but it is going to happen. He's not going to preserve them from that experience. Okay, so his saying it ahead of time doesn't preserve them from that experience. Okay, so I want to say in our lives of faith, it's important, just as Jesus has been offering in his farewell discourse, it's important for us to hear that we will face trials and tribulations and difficulties and the rest. And if they're so extreme to have us, say, fall back or desert Jesus or what, he has understood it from before it happened. And we have to remember that, and we have to have the courage and the humility to come back to him. Because he remains the answer, right? Even as we don't, you know, we don't get it right. You know, he remains the answer, you know, even as we know the answer and we know that we got it wrong. Yeah. And we can still come back to him, we can return to him with faith, and perhaps even more faith than before, precisely because of our, say, going through trials and even our falling away in faith. You ever think that? I mean, you must, right? And we've all had enough experience, I think, with that. It's like, okay, I've had my falling away. I'm back. You know, it's like I'm back with a vengeance. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, like we understand that. You know, even some of those in the mystery of the plan of God, you know, and what he allows, and not causes, right? Jesus is not causing here the disciples' grief. He's preparing them for it, but they still have to go through it. And when they come out on the other side of the thing, into the new world that he is, say, opening up for them, causing to be a possibility for them, then they're ready to grasp it with both hands. And I think that has to be our story as well. You know, so it's first one, right, the warning is to say, like, let's not fall away in difficulty. It really doesn't help us to do that. You know, like, let's not, we find ourselves in serious grief or any number of other challenges that we're going to face. It really doesn't help us to lose track of where Jesus is in the whole thing. It's really, you know, hold on to him, you know, perhaps as strongly as we can, precisely in those moments. But even where it happens that we're not able to, we feel ourselves not able to, even though we are able to, but even when we've had the experience where I wasn't able to and I just didn't do it, there's always the possibility for return. There's always the possibility for return. And again, precisely because we're at this point in the farewell discourse, Jesus talking about the sending of the Spirit, we know we can do it, again, not by our own strength and wisdom and orientation and the rest, but because Jesus is sending his Spirit. And he's sending the Spirit of truth so as to enlighten our hearts, even the dark recesses of our hearts. He's causing to be enlightened by the sending of the Spirit of truth. And he's giving us then also, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of a Spirit-led life, that when we are cooperating with the Spirit of God, then we will be people bringing forth the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and the rest in the midst of whatever it is we're encountering. And we'll know then that we are clinging faithfully to Jesus, both in season and out of season, from us, for our perspective, because we're bringing forth the good fruit of the Spirit. He's causing us to flourish. Yeah, every moment of every day that we're giving over to him in cooperation. But he's the one who's taking initiative, and we can trust in him, even in those times where we don't trust ourselves to get things right.